പ്രപഞ്ചജനായനീ പ്രഭുപാദ നിപതയ നമഃ ശ്രീഗുരുനാഥേ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപാദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതദേശിനി ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമീതി നാമനേ നമസ്തേ സാരസ്വതീദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ മേ വിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശികാണി ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശിവാസാരി ഗൗഡ ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. So the first verse says, my lord, I will protect the progeny of you and your wife. Arjuna is speaking. I will protect the progeny of you and your wife who are in such distress, and if I fail to keep this promise, I will enter fire to atone for my sin. And so Arjuna is making a promise here, and rightly so it's described here, that quoting Bhagavad Gita 234, Sambhavitasya Chakirtir Maranat Atirichati. For a respected person, dishonor is worse than death. So if he's not able to perform what he promised to do, then he will enter the fire. Nine children here of this devotee are now going to be killed, and he wants to protect. He would like to protect that child. So Arjuna is promising that he can do it. And in fact, Arjuna is not just promising, he is also chastising, in one sense, the rulers who are not able to protect the Brahmin's children. Arjuna he has done so much austerity, and he has gotten many different gifts from many demigods. And one of them is by satisfying Lord Shiva. So it is described that Lord Shiva wanted to test the strength of Arjuna. And in the form of an aborigine, Lord Shiva came to meet him. There was a great fight, is described, between the two, and at last Lord Shiva was satisfied with him and disclosed his identity. Arjuna prayed to the Lord in all humbleness, and the Lord, being pleased with him, presented him with the Pashupata weapon. The entire verse of 931, which is right after 930. 9:30 in Bhagavad Gita describes how apichet sudura charu bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhu eva samantavya samyagya vasito hisa. But even if someone commits the most abominable action, he should be relieved of that, because he is properly situated in Krishna consciousness. Because he is a devotee, one should not see him as an offender. And then this verse says, Akirtim chapi bhutani katha yishyanti te vyayam sambhavitasya chakirti maranat apirichyate. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. In other places it is described that Arjuna is speaking, saying that my whole body is trembling. When he didn't want to fight with his family members, with the other soldiers, he said, my whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my bhog and diva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. And Srila Prabhupada describes that there are two types of the hair standing on end. One is when one is in extreme fear, and the other is when he is in ecstasy. So Arjuna is he's not fearful of the situation, but he's going so it is described here that that person quickly becomes righteous in that verse 931. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kuntli, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. There are many kings who protect their servants and the devotees in general. And our main protection actually is our Krishna consciousness. And over again we see how Srila Prabhupada, how he has given us the opportunity to protect ourselves by engaging us in the service of the Lord. He is giving us protection. There are so many Vedic kings who are out there. King Bharat, Maharaj Parikshit, Ambarish Maharaj, Katangva Maharaj, Janak, Bali, Lord Ram himself, and all these different kings, righteous kings, they're always protecting their progeny, their devotees, those who are in their protection. So our main protection actually is our Krishna consciousness. I was just at the prison on Saturday, and it varies between 5 and 10 prisoners who come, inmates who come to our program. And this Saturday there were 5 of them. There was actually one new inmate. And he wasn't, usually when you come in first time, you're a little shy, you don't want to speak very much. And you're kind of staying to the back. But he was very bold, and he was really wanted to share what he knows, and so forth. So he went on speaking for actually a little bit, and the others were listening to what he has to say. And coming from a Christian background, you could see that he knows a lot about the Bible. And he was speaking so many different things, things that were they were close to what we were discussing. And the others, actually, we have been discussing Bhagavad Gita. Now they are in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, discussing the different topics. And then they go, and then they do homework. They do homework, and then the next week when they come, they have all these different questions. So we were supposed to do chapter 9, text 31. But there was so much discussion. Every single one of them had a question to ask, practically. And then there was so much discussion, and the new inmate, he had a lot to say. And many of the things that we were saying, he was quoting the Bible to show the similarities. And I thought that was wonderful. And then we discussed different services and which services were more important. We discussed different kinds of activities one can do. One can pray, one can go to the temple, one can read the books, and then someone asked, well, one devotee there, Walter. Walter asked, well, what is, of all of these different services, which one is most important? So I gave them all a chance to answer, and each one answers something different. Someone says going to the temple, someone says reading the book, someone says serving prasadam. And then let me discuss the idea of giving Krishna consciousness to others. Now, we have been going there for a few years, and it varies between 5 and 10. So I was telling them that it is a sharing Krishna consciousness with others. We could probably say that that would be the most important service one can do. And we had a little discussion on it. And then they said that, you mean that we can also share this with other inmates? And we agreed that, yeah, you can. Why not? This is the whole idea, that you have received something that is beneficial for you, and the most beneficial, Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of our position in this world, and how we can get out of this trouble we are in for so many millions of births. And if we can share this with others, that will be the whole idea. So I told them that next time I go, I would like to see some new faces. And then they were happy to hear that. and so some of them said they'll work on it. They have some friends. In fact, many of them, they live two in a room. They have two beds in a room. So they can share with their friends. Walter was living with an, he told me, he said, I'm living with an enemy in my room. He said, I'm living with an enemy. He doesn't want to hear anything about Krishna consciousness. So I have to go outside and chant. I have to go outside and read. So he was asking for advice on how to engage this person. And so we discussed that a little bit. And you can see how they are becoming, like Srila Prabhupada said, bright-faced. These people are becoming bright-faced, these inmates. And as you go in there from the very front desk, you know, everything is barred and everything is very thick layers of fencing, and they have heavy metal doors that open up from the inside. And they're very much under constraint. They're very much protected in there. No one can go. They have these fences with barbed wires on it, you know, 20 feet high. And each area is cordoned off. They have lines on the road where they have to walk. And you can't get off that line, the prisoners. A lot of times you see them, many of them go to take their meals, and they have to stand on that line, single file, go get your meal, and then you walk back. And sometimes another set of them, they're lining up to get their medicine. Apparently, most of them take a lot of medicine for different things. And one of them told me, actually, that actually it's very nice in there, one of the prisoners along the way. It's very nice in here. We have the air condition, we get food to eat, we have, you know, even outside in the world, some people don't have air conditioning. So it was quite nice. But for our devotees who were there, our inmates, they could see that Madan Mohan Prabhu was making the point that actually, in one sense, it is better for them in there, because better for you in here, because you get a chance to see what the full penalty is, living, you know, constrained like this. And you have a good chance to see the material nature right up in your face, whereas people who are apparently free out here, you know, all the nice things you can do. You're free, you're independent, you can do whatever you want. But when you're restricted, you have a better chance of remembering Krishna, of wanting to remember Krishna. So that was the That was our devotees who are now learning. They can see that. In fact, one time I went to the death row some time back. And I'm going into the death row. It's very dangerous. They have bars and actually mesh fencing, very thick mesh fencing. And you can't actually shake your hand or give them anything. You know, you have to, if you want to give them something, you have to raise your hand 7 feet up and then drop it into their room. Because it's very, you know, one of the chaplain, he told me that be careful when you go there, because sometimes they pass urine and they keep it in a little cup or something, and they can throw it on, and they throw it sometimes on the chaplain. So if you want to give them, I was giving out flyers, and I would go up to them, and it is, you see how much they suffer in there. You know, and they're open, and everyone can hear everything, because the rooms are, not the rooms, just walls separating them. But there is water, there is a toilet right there. I know in third world countries, you go to, and I hear prisoners in third, you know, like in Guyana, for example, there's hardly any bathroom facilities. You know, there are 25 of them in a small room and crunched and suffer like anything. The jails in America are actually quite nice to compare. Even the guys in the death row, they have air conditioning too. So this one guy who I've been through the whole, that whole floor, had about maybe 150 of them. And I was going, it was right before Christmas, so I was handing out flyers and little booklets. And I was telling them that I have a Christmas present for you. And then all of them, each one of them wanted to take it, but I said, they say, drop it. And I have to just stretch all the way up and drop it. And this one guy, he was saying, my mind is reeling. But you have something for my mind. Now, these are people, criminals, who are waiting for their paperwork to be finished in the court so that they can be executed. all of them, actually. And the chaplain said that right behind here, if they're not executed and they die here, right behind there we have a cemetery, and we just put them there. They don't go back home. So there is one guy whose mind was reeling. I said, yeah, I have the exact medicine for that. So really? I said, yeah. So then I gave him the Maha Mantra. I told him what the mantra is, that which frees the mind. He said that this is the thing I want. So I taught him how to chant the Maha Mantra. And he said, okay, I'm going to try this. And then a couple of weeks after, when I went in there and I checked with him, he said, wow, this is working. Thank you very much. It's actually helping me a lot. And now I cool down. It was Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, I mean, the others who were in there, there was a Spanish man in there. And he was speaking Spanish to me, and I was speaking in English. And he was telling me that Jesus is the only way. I said, but I have a nice gift for you for Christmas. And he continued saying, Jesus is the only way. So I said, well, please read this, you know, it's in English. And I spoke with him a little Spanish. I asked him if he speak any English. And he said, yeah, un poquito, I can read. But there was a picture of Krishna, there was a picture of Prabhupada on it. So he took it. So I thought that much progress he has made by just accepting the flyer. And in my mind, I'm praying that all these prisoners who are here, that they will be freed. And so it's actually the most important protection we can have, which is to have the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of Krishna, to remember Krishna, to understand who Krishna is and who we are. That knowledge, this purified knowledge, is the most the best thing we can actually possess. Okay, I'll stop here. It's getting late. Any questions or comments? Yeah. Jivana Prabhu.
Since you're telling prison stories, I went to a prison in Canada and talked to a few of the guys, young and old. They actually would plan on getting arrested so they could be in the prison over the winter, because then they had somewhere warm.
Uh-huh.
So when you say it's actually not that bad to them, it was like the best thing going. And you know, that kind of like shocks you when you're on the outside and talking to them. But they were saying, I did something just so I could get in here. And, okay, and that makes sense to you?
I'm going home for winter.
Yeah, I'm going in. I got back to my friends, because all their friends are in there. Like I say, most of these guys that are in there, they've been in there for a really long time, off and on, back and forth. So, I mean, that's their life. So, I mean, the fact that you're going is one.
Well, in this in this Union County facility, there's about 3,000 of them in there, all over 50. And in fact, one of them who comes to our program in another year or so, he was supposed to be released. So... so some of them are coming out, but very few of them actually leave there. Yeah, truly comfortable.
So coming back to some of the verses here. When Arjuna said that I am Arjuna, the wield of the Gandiva bow, because he had satisfied Lord Shiva, which is very, very difficult to do. And we have to take into consideration the Bhagavad Gita was not spoken. Mahabharata war was not fought as it. So Arjuna was still somewhat familiar with Krishna and Balaram and Anirudh and Pradyumna and so forth. In other words, it's not like he was seeing them fully as the supreme. He was seeing them like his cousins and relatives and things like that, you know. Because when he said that, when the Brahmana said, all these guys here really, and then he says, I am Arjuna, the wield of the Gandiva bow. And then, you know, he had pleased Lord Shiva. In other words, Srila Prabhupada commented in Krishna Book 2, it seems as if he was kind of demoting is, you know, Krishna and so forth in some little ways, because he was seen like Lord Shiva as very powerful, you know, and he was, so when he was saying that he was able to satisfy Lord Shiva and gain the Pashupata Ashwa, that's a great thing, you see, and so maybe that's why he was like elated somewhat, thinking that he would be able to protect the Brahmana sons. So,
behind you.
Also, in the Gita, you're quoting the Gita, and that Krishna tells Arjuna that even if you're considered the most sinful of all sinners, if you're situated in the boat of devotional service, and you can easily cross for the sinful reactions. So, I just want to bring back to mind the situation is that Arjuna was reluctant to fight because he knew he would destroy the whole dynasty. All the fathers of the Gandhi women would have unwanted progeny and everything would fall apart. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, it would be very sinful to fight. And under those circumstances, Krishna told him, even if you do the most sinful thing, because you're rightly situated in my service, you still come to me to transcend material reaction.
Good. Thanks. Over there.
Yes. Related to the same verse, how you stated that when Krishna says, even if you commit the most abominable activity, you're rightly situated. That was nice that he gave that, shed some light on the context. However, it also makes me think of yesterday's discussion on offending Vaishnavas. And if one, what then constitutes a Vaishnav? Because a Vaishnav may perform some, you know, quote unquote abominable activity, and therefore another Vaishnav may offend that Vaishnav by deriding them or this or that, you know. But because they're a Vaishnav, that is a Vaishnav aparad. You get what I'm asking? What constitutes a Vaishnav?
Vaishnav aparad. Anyone else would like? Divyanga knows the answer.
Any person who's ever chanted Hare Krishna is considered a Vaishnava. So that's a lot of people, and you don't want to be offended. You have to be very careful. It's the only thing that can really hurt us is aparad. Prabhupada said that this movement will go on, but internally, if we don't cooperate and if we're offensive, then that's the only thing that can stop it. And the devotee's personal progress in spiritual life has to be very careful with offenses. That's the most important thing for a devotee's sadhana, to try to not be offensive.
Prabhupada say, even if you see our Brahmananda walking down the street smoking a cigarette, you still pay your respects.
He said that, yeah.
I was going to add, perhaps anybody discussed in yesterday's class could well be a Vaishnava.
Everyone in yesterday's class, what?
The joke box.
Okay, Ishan Prabhu up front.
Thank you. I came a little late, but did you read Srila Prabhupada's report to that verse? It makes it very, very clear.
I read the translation.
The purport is incredible.
You read it the other night, I think.
Yes, I read it the other night. And something about Vaishnava aparada is very important to understand. I think this is true, and you can tell me what you think. We take it like you're breaking a rule if you're doing a Vaishnava aparada. But actually, the truth of the matter is when we see somebody doing something wrong, that person is under the influence of material nature. They're taking direction from the false ego. The person who's observing them should be seeing them as spirit soul, and the person who's making the mistake is identifying with their false ego, but the person who's observing them, if they also identify them with their false ego, they're on the same platform. They're on the material platform. And they're holding a judgment against somebody. This is the antithesis of Trinadapi, Suni Jaina, offering the highest respect. The highest respect means to see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna and offer them our open-hearted love. So Lord Chaitanya is warning us that if we don't see them as in that way, we're on the same material platform. It's a manifestation of enviousness. It's a manifestation of wanting to put ourselves up by putting someone else down. And such a person can never become close to Krishna, because they're mutually exclusive orientations. If I want to put someone else down, it means I want to be Krishna. How can I approach Krishna at the same time? That's the dynamic understanding, the technology of why when we say offense, it sounds like you're breaking a rule, but it's not about breaking a rule so much as it's about taking an orientation whereby we used to make ourselves superior to somebody else, and that's our desire to be Krishna. And we cannot have Krishna when we have this sinful propensity in ourselves. You were talking about how making the parallel between Christianity and... So Jesus says, you first take out of your own eye this log, and you'll be able to take this speck out of the other person's eye that you're finding fault. If we take out this faulty vision from our eye, we won't see anything wrong in anyone else. We'll see somebody who's in trouble, and our heart will open up to them with love and compassion. How can I help you? But so to see the mistake, that's not wrong. But to take an attitude of superiority, of arrogance, of pride, and to look down on someone, that is our own sinfulness, and that is our own, that is will keep us away from Krishna. We cannot approach Krishna as long as we want to be Krishna. And that is a very, like that.
However, there is, in other words, you're saying one has to separate the false ego and whatever one does with false ego from the devotee, from the devotional feeling of that person. Is that what you're saying? Separating the actions in false ego from the actions of the devotee, both in the same body. Okay. So, but the point is that if someone makes an offense, then there has to be some reaction to that. There has to be some reaction. I think what you're saying is the way we react to such a situation is what is important. Because if someone makes a mistake, you don't want him to continue making the same mistake, because then that would not be good for him and not be good for those who hear. So there has to be some kind of dialogue, and you have a nice way of actually doing that. You, please forgive me. You start off like that, and then you gradually get into it, which is nice. But we cannot use that verse also. Abominable Action 9:30. We can't use that verse to protect our bad habits. That's the other side of it. Yeah. Okay, this is 9:30. Proper? The word... You have a microphone there? Okay.
The word sudra used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society and
change
state,
page by page. It'll be easier to
certainly read. There are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with the conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully Krishna conscious of the spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service.
Engaged in Krishna consciousness.
Of the Lord.
Yeah.
Has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they are technically called devotional service. Now in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary... I lost it. Where'd it go? I'm still at the bottom.
It's a very fall now.
He's bouncing all over the place.
Okay, you got the last line there now. Fall down does,
yeah, does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi, fully engaged in the service of the Lord, sometimes becomes ensnared. The Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as the devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination
in the process
of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is bound to have fallen. The words Sadhur Eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In the Nrisimha Purana, the following statement is given. Bhagavati cha haravyaranya cheta vrishyas malino pivirajate manusa nahi shasha kalusha chadi varche dimira parabhavatam upaite chandaha. The meaning is that even if one is fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs, as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee.
He's not a sinner, but he's not a high devotee. But there is a difference between what is mentioned here in terms of doing something abominable and then having a mentality of a bad mentality. Of not understanding the philosophy properly. There is a difference between those two. Okay, it's time to end. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
Krishna.